Welcome to Reframe. This is a place for us to consider the simple changes we can make in the way that we see life. We're all doing the best we can with what we know. But when we reframe the way we see things, we know better. And when we know better, we do better. We create a new thought, and it can't help but affect how we move through the world. Change is an inside job. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's Reframe with Jenna Zoe. So we've got a super question this week, and it is, how do I cultivate confidence when I'm feeling anxious and insecure around others and in groups? The first thing that comes to mind is, do you know who Teal Swan is?
Yes.
We've spoken about her before.
Yeah.
I always mention her. She's a reflector, and she's a really good example for people of what a reflector is. But she has like all these extra sensory gifts, and she can see like energies moving in and out of people's bodies, and she can see how your energy shifts just when you eat or just when you think something. It's kind of incredible. Anyway, I saw a video of hers once that said, if you find others draining, you're being inauthentic.
Wow.
And it really struck me because, you know, and I think the personal development / spiritual wellness world attracts a lot of people who are sensitive people. And you hear it banded around a lot of like, oh, I just can't be around other people, or I need my space from other people and whatever. And of course, that's true that there are you know, tons of us that are really sensitized and aware of how other people are and how, you know, we're attuned to their emotions or to their state or whatever. But what I know to be true is that we only can have ultimate power in our lives when we take responsibility for everything, right? So even that, for example, is still staying in that, still keeping us in that victim mode because we're blaming others for changing our state, right? So really what's happening is when we're around somebody else, we're allowing our perception, not even them and how they're being, but our perception of them and how they're being, to alter the way that we are. In terms of the fact that we're not just then being ourselves, our mind is interfering and saying, say this instead, or be this way, or be on, or, you know, overcompensate for that person, or dumb yourself down for that person, or keep small around that person, or, you know, go back into the old role that you think that person is expecting you to be, right? And it's actually that is draining, because no one can actually physically take away your energy if you are still saying you, right? So that really changed the whole way that I saw things because, and by the way, I mean, I need this more than anybody else because it's the work of a lifetime, right? It's not that you have it one day and it's absolutely perfect. There's always going to be situations, and there still are tons of situations where I catch myself not being who I am. And that's what gives me inauthenticity hangover, essentially, right? But it's not the person that has done it to me. I have to say it's me that has done that as a reaction to what it is that I have observed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's actually how our brains take in the information and process how we think we should be, because we know that it's the shoulds and it's our mind that can take away so much energy from letting our bodies just be how they are, right? And everybody on this planet comes in as totally 100% authentic. And it's only when we grow up that we start to learn dynamics between people. And that's what kind of complicates everything. So we've been it before. We've been babies where we were just totally loved and accepted, you know, at least in some way, shape, or form once in our lives in one aspect, but the way that we were, right? Even let's say, for example, if you have parents that weren't accepting of you, they were totally accepting of your process to learn to walk, or they were totally patient with you with, you know, getting things wrong as you learned when you were, you know, at school or something like that. We can all kind of connect back to a place where somebody had the patience for us that we actually need to learn to give to ourselves. Or maybe, you know, you're super patient with someone else that you love, right? So this is not a process where you stop doing this dance, you know, because actually the whole world is at it in every arena, right? So even people that are not even, you know, interested in personal growth, for example, you know, they might come across it where there's a lot of macho, there's a lot of big talk. It's everywhere in the world. And in the spiritual space too, it's like, you know, we've been taught, especially women, to be overly nice to people, to be overly sweet to everybody. You can't say no, you know, all these things. And that's the stuff, that's the shit that drains us, because we know fundamentally that, think about it this way, it's like our real self, our soul, is operating or wanting us to operate one way, and us with our conscious self is operating another way. So that creates like a chasm in our energy, right? And essentially, if everything we do, say, think, believe is a message to the universe about what our intention is and what we want next, when those two things are not on the same train, when soul and body are not together and united, we're sending mixed messages to the universe, right? And the mixed messages obviously keeps us stuck, keeps our lives from moving forward. Let's take the most basic example of, you know, you say you want something because you've been conditioned to want it, but your soul wants something else. That's not going to create a lot of forward movement in your life.
Yeah.
But in this example, it's the same thing. Like, if your soul just wants you to be free and be who you are, and your body is like, no, but I have to do this, and I have to do this dance, and I have to do, you know, this kind of chat, and I have to be this way for this person. It's that chasm that we're feeling. It's that that's giving us inauthenticity hangover. So the first thing we have to do is to stop using, you know, spiritual languaging to blame people, other people, for our discomfort with ourselves. And we have to get out of the victim mode, because in the victim mode, you can't change anything, right? So you don't have any power to create anything. Of course, it's a nice story to tell yourself. It makes us temporarily feel better about ourselves. I know that for sure. But I know that when I'm kind of, you know, giving myself a kind, but, you know, the wiser person in me is saying, okay, but hold on a second. Even if that person was like over-energized and driving you crazy, you could have still stayed calm. You know, that's just a silly example. Or, you know, you're at a party and what drained you really was the fact that you felt like you had to be a certain way to people. You had to be super interested in what they're saying, or you had to be overly polite because they felt. And, you know, sometimes we all know how that dance goes, is like the more you try hard, the more nonchalant that person becomes, yeah. Right? So, you know, I wouldn't even say that the most important thing to reframe is like, oh, just do it differently all of a sudden. It's actually just to start observing your pattern, because most people will either fall into pretending like they don't care and being like the tough guy, or coming off as like a bit cool and detached, or will be like overcompensating, overdoing it, da 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 da. We probably both have a mix of both, but it's like, who do I feel like I have to change, and what kind of persona is it that I put on? Which are the ones that maybe are more common across everybody that I know? And again, it's just the awareness of the great healer. It's like getting to know how you're draining your own battery, because for as long as you're not, now we've pulled it back from blaming it on other people. Second step is, okay, let me observe my own pattern. Third step is, let me be really, really kind to myself in this process, because it's nothing that is a flaw in me. This is the way that we've all been taught to be. So we're all at it, and I'm actually ahead of the game if I'm paying attention, right?
Yeah.
So it's just about being really nice to ourselves in this process and saying, even if you, listen, sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to be able to observe my patterns. And I'm like, I have no freaking clue I don't even know what my pattern is. But I say, okay, I have my, you know, higher, smarter self put my hand on my, you know, kid self and really have my own back and say, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to do this with you. And just say, you know what, then the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be open to observing how I am. And the next month or the next five times or whatever it is, you don't even have to put a timeline on it, but I'm just going to observe how I do this inauthenticity thing and just become aware of a pattern, because then it's not a weak thing. It's actually information for you to help yourself become better. So even when it's happening, it's empowering. As much as I don't like that word, it's helping you actually gather the intel, and you're coming at it from a no longer telling your victim story. So now you can use it to tell you how you are, right? It's like speaking to a therapist, that person holds up that mirror to you, right? It's like that. You can see your pattern in those moments, and without, and trying not to shame yourself for it, because we're all doing it. Like I said, you're actually a step ahead of people that aren't. And that's a good thing that you're so interested and you want to grow and are willing to go through the darkness to get to the light. You know, just have your own back in that moment to say, I'm going to just look, universe, send me moments where I can see it, or help me see it, or universe, send me the exact perfect thing that I need to be able to have the aha moment. Whatever it is, get that clear messaging. Because when you say, universe, I want to start seeing it, or I want to start catching myself out, or I want to start observing my pattern, or not doing it anymore, or not blaming other people, then that's when, in that moment, soul and body are on the same train together. And that's when you can get change. So that's why awareness is the great healer, because you're reuniting your conscious self with your real self. And that's when you can really get the train tracks, you know, that's when the momentum can really build. So, you know, with this whole thing about feeling insecure around other people, it's only what you are allowing them to make you feel. And it's not even them that are forcing you to feel it. It's your observation and the story that you're telling. So it's a beautiful thing, actually, because it really gives you so much acceptance of other people, because we're all just effing up as we go. And we're all being people that we were told to be. And so when you can have that compassion for yourself of, I'm still doing it because that's what I was taught in order to feel like I loved and belonged, then you can feel that so much for other people too, eventually, where you really don't just know it in your head, but you're like, oh, they're just trying to be loved and belong. And that is our most primal human need. So there's a reason why we're all doing this. But there is also a much more utopian vision where when each of us takes the personal responsibility of understanding that we don't have to do any of that, then that's what, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, that's the stuff that turns worlds around, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm like just needing to hear this myself today too.
I'd love to ask just one question. Do you think it makes any difference when we're looking at the human design if somebody is emotional or non-emotional when it comes to how people, they're affected by people in situations?
Well, essentially, what the human design chart is saying is that the areas where you're white are areas where you don't have your own definition. So any area where you're white is where you are more prone to feeling other people's stuff because you're not by your own energy in that. So let's say, for example, if I'm emotional, no, I am emotional, right? Because I'm emotional, I am so consumed in my own emotional wave, right? And I can't always see the wood from the trees in terms of your emotions, right?
Yeah.
I might, of course, pick up on them. And everyone, you know, who is sensitive, there's nothing wrong with that. And that doesn't mean that that's not a skill. It doesn't mean that you can't also use it. Just don't allow it to turn you into that victim story.
Sure.
And again, everyone obviously needs rest. We all need time away from other people, especially if you're an introvert. All of that stuff is great. And we don't mean to take that away, but you're right. The areas where you're white are areas where you're more prone to doing that dance. So even if, for example, it's in the root, right? You have a white open root. It means that you are more prone to kind of like doing the stress thing and pretending like stress is productive and trying to make yourself, I guess, like adrenalize.
Yeah.
Because you think that that's what makes you worthy and, you know, valuable or more similar to other people, right? Because we all believe that, you know, the problem with being different is that actually being homogenous is what makes us loved. If I have something in common with you, oh, cool, then maybe that means we could be friends. And the aim really here with human design is, let's see our differences and still love each other because we revere the differences.
Amazing.
I don't believe that I have to be like you because I know that's not energetically correct for me. And you don't believe that you have to be like me because that's not your thing. But then you're free to look at it like it's this beautiful, fascinating, cool thing to just watch another human being, right? So it's the same thing with the inauthenticity thing and feeling like you're drained around other people. It's like if you see someone that's super loud and you can't be around them because either because you have a judgment of being around what loud people means, that means you can't be loved if you're a loud person. Maybe they're triggering the fact that your loud thing was pushed in your shadow when you were a kid, whatever judgments you have over that, or because you feel like that makes you, that means you have to be the quiet one and you don't like that either. So it's all those things are your reaction to that loud person.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to come full circle, it's about the stories that we're telling, but if we're no longer telling those stories and we don't allow it to throw us off of our home base, then the areas where you're white in your chart and you're observing other people and taking in other people's energy, that becomes information. That becomes intel because that's when you can read people. That's when you can feel people. That's when you can see what's going on in the situation. So the areas where you're white are the areas where you're very open to the world and to get messages from the world and from people.
Wow.
So let's use them as good things. From being free from being engaged in this dance of I have to be like you or you have to be like me or that means you're wrong or I'm the victim or you're doing this to me. When we remove all of that, then we're just free to be observing.
Gosh, that's amazing.
And listen, this is very ideal because we're sure shit nowhere close to that. I certainly am not. But that's kind of really where the human design angle is like heading with this whole thing is like we have to dehomogenize. And this, you know, no longer doing the dance with people is like one of the major ways that we can really you know, bring it home and ground it with like actual action steps and really learn also to be there for ourselves, because that's where I really believe that self-love comes from, is like having your own back and seeing your own shit and still not seeing yourself as a bad person.
Love it.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I needed to hear this message just as much as, you know, the next person, but it's just a really, I think it's one of the best things that I've learned from human design myself. And I'm just so pleased to be able to share it with all of you. So have a great week and see you next week.